Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from The James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
This podcast was recorded Thursday, February 26th at 10:23 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like former President Bill Clinton will have a better memory than Les Wexner did when answering congressional questions about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who doubled up on their Red Bull consumption ahead of President Trump's nearly two-hour State of the Union address. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, public school districts and parents are legally using private school tax credits to pay for public schooling. Guess which award they will receive. But first, the Jeffrey Epstein scandal has had strong ties to Ohio all along. Last week, the congressional investigation into Epstein's associates came to Central Ohio. It came to New Albany. Limited founder Les Wexner gave a deposition to the House Oversight Committee. Wexner answered questions for members of the committee for about 5 hours about how much he knew about the sex offender and what role he may have played in Epstein's alleged sex trafficking. Before the session began, Wexner submitted a long statement in which he said, quote, "I was naive, foolish, and gullible to put any trust in Jeffrey Epstein. He was a con man, and while I was conned, I have done nothing wrong and have nothing to hide," unquote. Wexner's name appears in the Epstein files thousands of times. They had a long relationship. Epstein controlled Wexner's money for years. Wexner says Epstein stole from him, stole a lot of money from him. And during the deposition, Wexner maintained his relationship with Epstein was just business.
What common interests did you share with Mr. Epstein outside of work?
None.
So you didn't have any personal relationship with Mr. Epstein whatsoever?
I don't think I ever went to lunch or dinner or a movie or had a cup of coffee with Jeffrey.
That statement seems to run counter to images in the Epstein files. Images show Wexner with a champagne glass in one hand and another arm wrapped around the shoulder of Epstein at some kind of party. Another picture shows Les and Abigail Wexner casually sitting next to Epstein in the stands of an outdoor event. The ranking Democrat on the committee, Congressman Robert Garcia of California, did not find Wexner's answers credible.
There would be no Epstein Island. There'd be no Epstein plane. There'd be no money to traffic women and girls. Mr. Epstein would not be the wealthy man he was without the support of Les Wexner.
Our panel of State House insiders this week includes reporters Jesse Balmert of the USA Today Ohio Network and Sarah Donaldson of Ohio Public Radio, as well as Democratic strategist Stanley Gates and Republican strategist Bob Clegg.
Bob Clegg, lots to unpack here, but based on the evidence and what we know, I think a lot of people are going to have a hard time believing that Les Wexner and Jeffrey Epstein were not friends.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were connected for, what, 20 years almost? I mean, when you ask the question, what kind of contact did you have with him outside of business? I mean, you saw pictures. I mean, they were like at, sporting events. I mean, I don't think that's business related, but it seemed like Les Wexner just didn't recall a lot of different things when he was asked questions, so.
Yeah, Stanley, being deposed never looks good. It is. Lawyers are asking you questions. You're put on the spot. It's an uncomfortable situation. How do you think he came off in the deposition?
I mean, it came off exactly what you were just saying, right? Like, he didn't know anything. I mean, I think it's very hard to go and say that you're just giving $1 billion to someone who is an associate of yours. I don't know anybody who has that money that is just giving money away. And I think that there's an accountability Ohioans are looking for. We're not asking him to know everything. We're just trying to figure out what you do know. And to say that you know nothing, it just doesn't seem reasonable.
Jesse, I guess there was some speculation that he might take the Fifth. Probably doubtful, because he asked people, members of Congress, to come all the way up here and then take the Fifth. Would have been a good look no matter what, but that definitely would not have been a good look.
Yeah, and I think you saw from his statement, even before the proceedings happened, that he had something that he wanted to say. He has really been the subject of a lot of speculation and concern and, you know, probes and so forth. People are saying take his name off of every single building. And so I think he wanted to present his point of view, and then I think people can listen to the 5 hours or the analysis and decide whether all of that was credible.
Did we literally learn anything new, Sarah, after those 5 hours?
I haven't watched all five hours. I unfortunately haven't had the time. But there's nothing that's come out that has been bombshell, that is something that wasn't already known. These files that are being released are obviously very detailed. So I don't know that he shed any light on anything that was new. I think, like Jesse said, it just maybe was the most we've heard from him in a while.
This is the only time, Bob, that we've actually heard his voice talk about Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes.
We've had many, many statements from his spokespeople, from his attorneys, but this was his voice explaining it.
Yeah, and I think he just wanted to get the message across that he didn't know anything. And that he's really a victim, too. I found that interesting, that he went back to the, he stole, what was it, a billion? I mean, how do you steal a billion and not notice it? I mean, how does that happen? But I guess it did.
I mean, I think one thing I'd say, too, and my grandma would say it, if you lay with dogs, you get fleas. And so, for me, that's a concern that Ohioans have, and it's a question that we need to continue to ask.
Only Democrats showed up for this hearing. I mean, now it's a deposition. It's not really a hearing, so it's a little different than the big panel, what you see on Capitol Hill. But still, what does that say, if no Republicans showed up?
Well, I mean, it shows that it's become a very political issue. If you listen to all the questions that Jasmine Crockett asked, they were all regarding Donald Trump and what his potential relationship was with Jeffrey Epstein. And Les Wexner pretty much said that I don't think they had any kind of relationship. So, I mean, the Democrats came because it was political, and they wanted to try to make political points, and I don't know if they did.
Jesse, the three Ohio congresspeople who serve on that committee, Jim Jordan, Mike Turner, both Republicans, and Chantel Brown, a Democrat, they did not attend, even though Congress was not in session. And should we read anything into that?
I mean, I think it's interesting that they didn't attend, particularly Brown as a Democrat, but I haven't heard, like, statements specifically from all those three.
She said she had a scheduling conflict. We haven't heard from the other two, but she said she had a scheduling conflict.
I mean, it's a short trip. It's not too far of a drive for them.
Did she miss an opportunity, Staley, by not being there?
I think so. I mean, Democrat and Republican should be disappointed for the folks who did not show up. I mean, it's not a long drive, and this is something that a lot of folks are asking questions about. And they're not in session. This is their job to be a part of this kind of thing.
Can you be friends with somebody and still not know sort of a hidden side of them? Why Les Wexner say, I never had a cup of coffee with him. I never went to lunch with him. But we see champagne with him, and could he just say, I was friends with him for 20 years, I had no idea this was going
on? Mike, how many times have we had situations where people were, you know, a murderer or, you know, they robbed a bank and they go to their friends and relatives and they'll say, oh my gosh, I never would have expected that of them. So I guess it does happen. Now, in this specific case, I can't tell you, but I mean, there are a lot of instances where people think, oh my gosh, I can't believe that they would do that.
All right. Senator John Houston became the highest profile Ohio politician to donate campaign funds he has received from Les Wexner. He joins many others, including Central Ohio Congresswoman Joyce Beatty. Governor DeWine has also received lots of campaign donations from Wexner over the years. He has not said what he would do with that money, but he defended Wexner, calling the billionaire's relationship with Epstein old news. DeWine told a Politico event in Washington he does not see having Wexner's name removed from Ohio State University buildings as something that should happen. He says it's not a problem as far as he is concerned. Sarah Donaldson, it's kind of bold for DeWine. You know, why not just do a Ted Carter, the president of Ohio State, say, we're going to let the facts play out before I make a decision on this.
Yeah, he definitely made a statement. And, of course, Governor DeWine is a lame duck governor. It's his last year. Jesse and I have seen him maybe be more outspoken in ways that he hasn't been when he's been running for re-election. And so that's a note to make about the campaign donations as well. His campaign account was closed in 2023, I believe. He doesn't plan to run for office in the future. That money has to get donated anyway. So it's a question of that versus someone like Senator Bernie Moreno, who did receive some money from Wexner and said they don't intend to donate it. It's an interesting question because you bring up the point, and I think going back to what we just talked about, that this has become a very political issue. It's a very Ohio issue, too, and politicians on both sides of the aisle have taken a lot of money from the Wexners at all levels of government, federal, state, and local. Mayor Andrew Grinther has taken extensive donations from the Wexners.
And he has said he is not donating that money.
Correct.
John Husted, Bob Clegg, is going to donate the money he received. Sherrod Brown claims it's over $100,000. Yeah. That includes money that went to the DeWine Husted governor, lieutenant governor ticket. Was that a wise move on Husted's part to do that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's something he needed to do. I think he needs to show that this is a serious problem and he's going to deal with it. I mean, this issue goes in a lot of different directions. There's a major Democrat donor, Reid Hoffman, who was very close to Epstein, and he's given a lot of money to Democrat causes that have then given money to Sherrod Brown. So, I mean, it's like you said, everybody's involved in this. I found it amazing that Joyce Beatty was calling for the Epstein files to be released last year, but then she took a $3,500 check from Les Wexner. I mean, that tells you how, I guess it just was an automatic thing with all these politicians. You know, if you were going to run, you expected to get a check from Les Wexner, and you just took it.
Sherrod Brown got money from Abigail Wexner. Should he give that money back or give it to charity?
I think he should give it to charity. I mean, at this point, optics matter and timing is going to matter even more. And so the more that this story continues to bubble up, it's not going to go away. I think he has to consider that, and that's a real possibility that he probably just needs to go ahead and donate it to charity.
This eliminates, I'm not sure if voters really care about this, but it eliminates fodder for a negative ad, right, Jesse? If a politician doesn't give the money away that he got from Wexner, his or her opponent is going to target them.
Yeah, it just gives your opponent one more thing to talk about in their attack ads or with media like us. And I think it was really interesting. This didn't come down along party lines. Like, there were Republicans and Democrats giving us money back, and there were Republicans and Democrats saying, no, it's fine. I think I'll keep it. So I thought that was really interesting.
Apparently, Ohio State has now gotten close to 300 requests to take Wexner's name off of the building, Sarah.
And I see that. It's an interesting issue because you look at maybe a candidate, like a state representative, who's taken a couple thousand from the Wexners. And then you look at Ohio State University and how much Wexner money exists in the Ohio State realm. I think it's going to be a much bigger lift for the folks who want to get the Wexner name off buildings to succeed in seeing that happen.
So what does it take, Bob? What would have to happen for Ohio State? You go to the Wexner Medical Center, you cannot, literally you cannot go to the men's room without walking by his name four times.
Okay. Well, Mike, remember, we've had this instance with Ohio State in the past. We had the Blackwell. Roger Blackwell actually went to jail, okay? And it's still called the Blackwell. So what do you think?
Well, I think that was $7 million, if memory serves. It was the Blackwell Hotel. Okay. I think he gave $7 million.
So what's the dollar amount that you hit that you got to take the name off, Mike?
Well, $100 million is what Wexner gave when he got his name on the hospital. So you wonder.
Naming rights are naming rights.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like a contract, maybe.
But, you know, the overall budget of the OSU Medical Center, $100 million is not, it's a lot of money, but it's not, I think they have like $3 billion in reserves, Stanley. So it's not, you could probably survive if they had to give it back.
They can survive. I mean, again, it's all about the optics right now. And so I think, again, it's something to consider. Do I actually think that they're going to do it? Probably not. And like you said, history kind of repeats itself. And so maybe $10 million is the threshold, but it's not going to be seven.
And regardless, I mean, it is optics right now. Wexner, regardless of your opinions on him, his relationship to Epstein, he has not been criminally charged at this point. So it's, you know, an interesting discussion, but it is a difference than someone like Blackwell.
Yeah.
The big tower opens, 26 stories tall, 800 some odd rooms, beautiful building, crowning achievement for the medical center. But Les Wexner is... whose name is on the medical center, has basically had to sit this celebration out.
Yeah, I assume Ohio State is not happy about this publicity. They would rather not be having this conversation as they roll out their new medical center. And so the question is, you know, is the contribution that the Wexners have provided recently and over the years, does that offset the current, you know, public relations hit that they are taking?
Does the university just let this fade away, or do they make an announcement to say, we've decided we're not going to take the name off?
If I had to lay money down right now, I would lay down that they are hoping it just kind of goes away, that they can just wait this out, because I don't think they want to take this on.
Ohio State and all the many, mainly Central Ohio organizations and politicians tied to Les Wexner certainly do not want to take this on. But with each passing day and more Epstein associates resigning or retiring, as Harvard's Larry Summers did this week, these organizations will have to come to a decision. And remember, Ohio State has a, quote, official process for renaming or taking names off of buildings. Officials say it has begun with regards to Wexner's name. So that means officially, Ohio State will have to make a decision like it did when it decided to keep Wexner's name on its football complex. It may be a while, but presumably we will have a decision on this story, on this issue, at least with OSU. My thanks to Republican strategist Bob Clegg, Democratic strategist Stanley Gates, as well as reporters Sarah Donaldson from Ohio Public Radio and Jesse Balmert from the USA Today Ohio Network. We will be right back.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past half fortnight. As you may know, the state of Ohio pays the tuition of school kids who opt for private schools. Lawmakers over the years have widened this program, so now basically every family in Ohio can get some form of assistance. The awards are income-based to some degree. Public school advocates strongly oppose these vouchers. They say the money would be better spent improving public schools. But now some shrewd school districts and parents have found a way to use a private school tuition tool to pay for all-day kindergarten in public schools. The parents have to pay an extra fee for that all-day kindergarten in most districts. To help parents pay those fees and pay for the all-day programs, those districts are using a little-known tax credit that rewards Ohioans who donate to private school scholarship funds. Those Ohioans get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit. Basically, they get their money back. As Cleveland.com first reported, a small handful of districts have set up private scholarship funds. Parents donate to those funds. Those funds award scholarships to pay for all-day kindergarten. And the parents get their money back in the form of a tax credit. So the bottom line, it's complicated, I know, but the bottom line is a state program designed to pay for private school tuition with tax dollars is now being used to pay for public all-day kindergarten. That is shrewd. So those parents in those school districts who came up with this idea, you get our Snollygoster of the Week award. The question now is,
How long does it take for lawmakers to amend the law to close that loophole? I don't know. All-day kindergarten is pretty popular. And now they're going to have to take it away? Tough spot to be in. That will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. We are part of the NPR network. As always, try to give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, and just tell your friends about us. For our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.